Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi lads, thanks for tuning into the podcast again. Don't forget to like and subscribe and head over to the Patreon to contribute and help us out. Thanks a million and enjoy the podcast. Hello everybody and welcome back to the Tonalities podcast. This week we have two guests, Gillian again. You can be sick to death of Gillian at this stage. And Aaron McGahey, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Thai boxing and we're going to talk about ulcerative colitis and everything in between. But before we get going, we just want a shout out for the Sexual Health Centre. Myself and Timmy are wearing our red ribbons today just to create awareness around HIV and promote the message of you equals you, undetectable equals untransferable. So if you have any queries around your sexual health, especially HIV, head down to the Sexual Health Centre.
And they have a rapid rapid test, so you're in and out and everything is completely confidential. So if in doubt, contact the Sexual Health Centre.
Exactly. So know your status. You're either have no HIV or you have it. And if you do have it, there's ways and means around it. It's not the end of the world. So be smart and get tested, Sexual Health Centre. So without further ado, we'll go to our guest. How are you keeping, Gillian?
Great. I wasn't expecting to be sitting here, to be honest.
Ladies but first.
Here I am.
Ladies first. Gillian wasn't supposed to be on. We were meant to just do Aaron, but I forgot the keys for the studio, so Gillian had to drive down. So then I see Gillian chatting with Aaron because the two of them suffer with ulcerative colitis, as it happens. So kind of spontaneous, we said we get the two of them on. But before we get into it, we'll introduce you, Aaron.
Yeah.
How are you keeping, boy?
Fairly good, yeah.
No, thanks for taking time to come out and then talk to us. Before we get into it, where are you from and what age are you, Mr. Crack?
23, from Ballincollig. Same as you, like, my dad, he's from Derry, from Craigan up there, so...
Oh, very good.
Half Derry, half Cork, I say.
Best half is Cork, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. For soccer, I do Derry.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. But, and you grew up in Ballincollig?
Yeah.
And schooling and all that, you were always in sports, yeah?
Yeah, I lived down in, by the Gaelic Club there, so we were always kind of hurling mad, like, and school was all right, like, it wouldn't have been the sharpest tool in the box, we say, like, and it was primary was grand, secondary was grand, until about fourth year, didn't really like it, then, because of, going into, to make you choose whether you want to do LCA or... they leave and sort, but I was allergic of LCA because there's a big stigma around that. I don't know if you know about it, like, but
yeah, we do. Yeah. Gillian works in Outreach, and do you do LCA in Outreach?
What is LCA?
Leave and sort applied.
Leave and sort applied.
It's not like you get no points for it, like you do with a leave and sort. You know, so I can understand the stigma around it. Yeah,
yeah, I would have been pure embarrassed, like, you know. Because it wasn't very academically smart as it was, like, and then there was like kind of like, you know, when you went in there, like, it was everyone knows now, like, you know, you're not very smart, like, so I didn't really like school then, like, but
did
school.
Did you end up doing the LCA in the end?
I ended up doing it in the end because there was a teacher, she kept coming out to me every single day, like, but I was sure, like, there were just short numbers, like, but, I wouldn't have been able for leaving sort anyway, like, it's all the one, like, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, but you know what the LCA is good for? To keep you in school and keep you in the education system, isn't it? You know, it's not like, I know there's a stigma attached to it, like, it's still of benefit to somebody, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it don't be saying, like, that It's not that you were stupid or anything. Maybe the education system was too rigid. Maybe you're an active person that learns, like what Timmy always says, learns with his hands, learns by doing, and the rigid education system didn't suit your way of learning. You know what I mean? So you, like, from my interaction with you beforehand, like, you're a very smart man. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot about you. You know? So it's just that school at that time, it didn't suit you. And you did pretty well afterwards.
I did, I didn't do too bad.
I always thought the LCA, whatever, fourth year was more or less the kind of dossing year where you had a year off and just done class tours and all this shit. I never.
That's separate. The fourth year is what's transition year.
That's the same thing. That is the DOS year.
No, after you do your junior, so you went through your leaving, or else you went to the LCA class.
All right,
which is fifth year and sixth year. It's not the leaving sort, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just.
Do you know, if I was left still back in school, I probably would have been in your class.
Yeah.
Do you know what? And there would have been no one saying that.
They'd be preparing you, like, for fifth and sixth year when you're in there, like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what did you do when you finished school?
I didn't do nothing. I done a YMCA course because I couldn't get a job.
Yeah.
Because at the time I would have been kind of sick with my stomach, like.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us, did your stomach come at you when you were in school?
Yeah, I was kind of in the midst of that now, like, when they were on to me about doing the LCA, like, I didn't want to do what I was saying, oh, no, it would be my friend and stuff like that. Like, I just making up all these things in my head, probably.
Yeah.
And then I started getting really sick then. I always remember I was fighting, I was having my first fight down at Neptune, and at the time, like, my stomach was wasn't well, like, and I said it to my mum, then kind of after the fight, I just fobbed it off, like, for a while, and then we went to the doctors, and they said, oh, you gotta go get checked. So then it would have been that December, I think it was 2014, I got the diagnosis then to say I've ulcerative colitis.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
And do you think that it was brought on by the stress of the school and then the fight all around the one time?
I think so, like, because I've lived a healthy enough life, like, you know.
Yeah.
I've never smoked or drank, things like that, like, so that was the only thing that was going on at the time for me. I was just really stressed and worried and stuff like that, like, but.
And they do say it is a condition brought on by stress and worry, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you remember?
Do you know what I was just thinking, like, might be completely off the track, like, but I was just thinking, you know, for someone to actually go through that kind of stressful part of your life like that, I suppose I probably would have went through the same thing, and you probably did as well at the same time, and we probably would have used substances and alcohol. You know, I'm thinking now, if I didn't have those in my life back in the time, like, the possibility of something similar or something like that.
Maybe, like, so what you're saying maybe if he was using drugs, he wouldn't have been so stressed and you mightn't have developed that.
That's what I was actually, that's what was coming into my head. James said it in the right way. I go around the block and James just goes straight down the road.
No, but can you remember the first time you started getting issues with your stomach, Gillian?
I think it was around 2010, 2009 maybe, or maybe a little bit earlier. But in around that anyway, it came on me when I was in Barcelona. I got very sick over there. And like that now, I would have been very stressed a lot of the time. And I was in recovery now, like at this stage, you know, early enough days, I suppose, as well. But just kind of constantly in a state of stress, panic, that kind of stuff. And I was over in Barcelona and I got really sick over there, like, to the point that when we got to the airport, I was so afraid that they were going to send me to the hospital. Do you know what I mean? That they weren't going to allow me on the flight. I couldn't stand. I was weak. I was hallucinating. I had to book into a hotel near the airport waiting on my flight. And when I got back then, down to the doctor, sent for tests. And soon after then, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. Yeah. And it's been, look, I suppose I've received treatment, as you, like, we were talking briefly about it before the podcast, like, I've had different treatments as you have, and it's just trying to manage it as best as you can when you're in it. It can be very difficult, as you know. And you were saying before the podcast that you didn't really know anybody to have it, apart from me.
Yeah.
So I suppose that was kind of the reason I'm sitting here as well, just a little bit of support for you.
Yeah, thanks.
You're fine. I suppose I'm well used to it now at this stage. Yeah, you know, yeah. I've years living with it. But yeah, it's not an easy thing to live with. And when it flares up, as you know yourself, it can be very, very deadly. Mm-hmm.
This might be the start of an ulcerative colitis anonymous group or something. You know?
Yeah. Do you know what?
People will be listening, yeah. And they'll probably think they're the only person.
Definitely,
you know?
Yeah. Definitely, because when you were speaking earlier on, you were going to get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
You were speaking about a guy that you're getting a lot of advice from online, where it's about diet, and that's helping you to stay away from the medication side of it, and you'll get to that now. But there's probably other people out there that need to know that sort of stuff, because I'm sure there could be 10, 20 different things that different people could try, and not everything will work for everybody. But one thing might work out of the 20, so it's not a bad idea.
Exactly.
I don't know. There's probably a forum out there or something like that.
I'm sure there is. Look, I'm sure there's Facebook pages and things like that. I just haven't accessed them myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's good to give the issue a platform here. I mean, but a lot of people won't have a clue what ulcerative colitis is. I suppose you can make out from the name of it, it's ulcers in the colon, possibly. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what it is?
Well, they say like Crohn's disease and colitis, they say like they're like cousins, like, you know, like same thing, but they're different. Like, and with Crohn's, basically, it's like you have ulcers, which are basically like scars, like an inflammation. They could be patchy anywhere around your gut. But then with colitis, it's your rectum and your colon would be inflamed and possibly have ulcers as well. And then basically, like, the symptoms that come along with that would be, like, diarrhea, bloody stools, you might have mucus, fatigue, there's loads of them.
And you can also get, you know, for me, like, ulcers in the mouth. I get ulcers in my mouth as well. Do you know, if I'm really stressed and my stomach comes at me, it comes out in my mouth as well, small little ulcers. I've been to the GP before about it because, and it's all connected because it's starting, when they come out in my mouth, my bowel is starting. I'm on steroids very soon after that then. To the inflammation that started, as you said.
Yeah.
I remember you complaining about having issues with mucus as well, passing mucus and stuff.
Thanks, James.
We're fucking here to talk about it.
No, look, that's all part and parcel of it, and it's actually it's so unpleasant. And it's very embarrassing, you know, it's very embarrassing.
Well, you're dealing with, like, not being rude and all that, like, but you're dealing with the holes in your body where we leave out things that we don't need within the body, you know.
Well, it's my colon is damaged. Yeah. Part of my colon is damaged, you know, and that all feeds into that then as well. So when I flare up, and you live with me, you know it, like, you talked about that yourself, Armin, being so tired, fatigued. Mm. Like, I remember being in work, I had to come out of work at one stage for a few months, and I remember before that actually happened, being in work 1 o'clock in the day, falling asleep on the table, absolutely exhausted, like no energy in my body, having to go home from work. And just feeling like a 90-year-old woman instead of being in the prime of my life, just feeling so tired and drained and shit, feeling like shit, really.
Does your bowel, what's the term for it? Do you get bouts of it, or does it get inflamed, like, when you're having a stressful time, or if you're coming up to a fight, would it come at you, or is there any kind of triggers for a few?
Be stressed would be a big one, alright, definitely, like, if I'm starting to get anxious, I don't know, if you've something coming up, like, even coming down here, I'm small but nervous, and you can feel it in your gut, like, or do you know what they say, like, your gut instinct, like, you know, you know something's not right. My gut will tell me that as well, like, and then obviously, like, there's your food and what have you as well, like, it all depends, I suppose. Everyone is probably different.
Did you find that with the food as well, that if you eat, let's say, a certain amount of fruit and veg, that would trigger the cramps? There's days I could eat, and I love my veg, especially my veg, there's days I could eat loads of veg, and then there's a day that I could eat it, and I'm bent up with cramps in my stomach, and different things will trigger it. Or beans, no, I can't really have them. I love that kind of stuff and I can't really have it because them types of food would trigger that.
I don't think many of us can eat beans, to be honest, with those up in that. Yeah, I know, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
What about foods high in fat? I meant to avoid a high fat diet.
Yeah, you would be, it's like, I done a nutrition course before, like, they call it, like, deep health, like, it's like your environmental health, your mental health, your spiritual, your physical and emotional. Mm. And you have to look after all of them, like, and your diet, like, for me anyway, like, if it's something to do with your gut, like, has to be your diet, like, is the biggest one, like, and at the minute now, like, I'm eating 80% carbohydrates, like, and 10 with the fats and the protein, like, but that's just your man now, his name is High Carb Health, I'm working with him now, he showed me, he healed himself, so I'm going to give that a shot.
You just started out on that?
I started it a couple of weeks ago, all right, but I was working at the time there, my contract was coming to an end and stuff like that, so I was just kind of trying it, like, for the last couple of weeks, but I'm finished my contract now, so I'm going to try focus on that, my best.
Is it hard to eat 80% carbs?
I don't think so anyway, because, like, I'd be having smoothies and soups, it's all, you know, you just...
Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
You can, you'll get it into you, all right, like, you know. Yeah. There's some things, though, like, it's tough, all right, like, smoothie in the morning, you want you to have, like, sick bananas and stuff, like, but you have to, it's like anything, you have to ease your way into it, I think, and try your best, like, I'm not an angel, no, either, like, you know, I still chocolate and stuff like that, like, but that's what I'm going to be trying anyway.
I'm thinking, is it, right, with all the diets and stuff, is there another way of dealing with the... Maybe looking at the stress side of it and trying to...
Meditation.
Yeah. And just balance the stress and make sure you don't get too stressed and you just kind of... When you do get stressed, kind of feel it and sit with it a little bit and kind of surrender into it. No, we might be... Talk, yeah. This is what Ron have on the table there for the mic. And just, yeah. So I'm just being tapped at... But, for instance, meditation, if it just helps for distress a little bit or something like that, you know, that's what's coming to my mind.
Yeah.
You know, because I know the diet stuff is fantastic for everything. You know, everybody should be living in a good diet, particularly for your mental health, because it helps an awful lot. You know, but definitely I think when someone does get stressed and they have something like this and they know the triggers, maybe with mindfulness or something like that, just to be a little bit more aware of it.
Did you ever try anything like that?
I did, yeah. I don't know, was it like at the start of the lockdown, I was talking to a fellow there, Josh from Exceed, and he put me onto a Joe Dispenza. Do you know, Break the Habit of Being Yourself?
Oh yeah, we're familiar with him.
Yeah. I've read his book twice now, like, and I do all of the meditations and stuff in the morning, like, if... changed me a good bit, like, and it helped me a lot, like, with my colitis as well, like, and other issues too, like.
Yeah, and I know from experience with Gillian as well, when Gillian eliminates some of the stresses in her life, there's no bouts of inflammation, you know?
Yeah.
But when there's a lot of stress going on in life, there's big issues with the bowel, like, isn't there?
And the thing is, some of the stress wouldn't even be my stress. It'd be somebody else's stress that I'm after getting caught up in, and then it's impacting on me.
Do you see, in Gabor's book, when the body says no, he says it's always people that get sicker. Like, we say you're looking after you and you and you, but you're not minding yourself. That's what they say. Then the person who doesn't look after themselves, like, is who gets sick. Like.
Yeah, he said to us, we had him on the podcast, as you know. But he was saying, like, that if you're spending your life going on fixing people and neglect yourself, you'll run yourself into a grave, like.
Exactly.
And for the most part, people don't want you fixing them or running around after them. Do you know what I mean? They just want to be doing their thing. And it's, I suppose it's just about bringing it back and looking after yourself. And I'm saying that for myself, not about you, but just for myself, another little reminder. Do you know? But I suppose for a while now, I've been fine, thank God, with mine.
Do you think that's down to the medication, you know? Do you want to tell us a little bit about the medication, actually?
The medication and, as you said, eliminating some stresses out of my life as well. Because even if I'm on the medication and I still have stress going on in my life, the medication then doesn't really work. Do you know what I mean? I'm still on the phone then to the consultant in the hospital. I'm still on the phone to my GP, and I'm back on steroids, you know, this kind of stuff. But the medication I'm on at the moment now is called Humira. We briefly talked about that. You were saying that you were on the Azacolan before.
Azacolan and Mecaptopurine, and I was taking suppositories for small while as well, and loads of courses of steroids as well.
That was me as well. So I would have had all that as well down through the years. But then I got to a stage where I ended up going on the Humira, and I didn't want to go on it. But I had very little choice at that point, because my bowel was just really inflamed, badly inflamed. So I was on it first fortnightly, and it was gone to weekly. And as I was saying to you, I don't even want to be on the medication. I would love to be free of all of that stuff.
Yes, because that medication is immunosuppressive in terms of it suppresses your immune system, because the problem is an overactive immune system. And the medication weakens the immune system. Like, it weakens the immune system, so the immune system stops attacking the colon and the bowel. But it doesn't just weaken that part of the immune system, it weakens your overall immune system. So, like people might be familiar with the word immunosuppressive due to COVID, because, you know, there was a priority given to people on immunosuppressive medication being vulnerable to COVID-19 because they have a weakened immune system, and if they got the virus, there could be, you know, serious complications because their immune system is already compromised, you know. So that's why we were always very careful during lockdown with Gillian, you know, just to not bring the virus home and stuff. Mm-hmm. Were you conscious about that? Afraid of getting the virus, or...?
I wasn't really, to be honest, like, because I'm fit, like, even your man there, you know, he said to me, like, not that you'll be, like, in denial about it, but he said you have to look at it like it's an injury, like, you know, don't be worried about nothing, like, you don't know, like, if you tore your hamstring, you wouldn't be rolling around, you know, crying for months on end, like, he was like, your grand, like, you know, don't be worrying about nothing, like, it's fine, like.
Yeah, I think maybe just because you were on the immunosuppressive medication.
Oh, that would be the reason.
But like in general, Clayless, like you have a strong immune system. Other than immune system is probably too strong. And all that. But can you tell us a little bit about the symptoms you experienced when it's bad?
Yeah, so like when I was before, I would have been going to the toilet like maybe like 20 times a day, like, and bloody stools, mucus, would have shat myself numerous times as well, like, and,
is that, like, if you're out and about, I would just try and stay at home for the most part, because of a fear of it happening when you're outside, or, how does that impact your life?
It would have after a while, like, you see, first, I didn't know what was going on, like, because I remember when I went in first, do you know, when I got the colonoscopy, it's a camera test, like, he says, oh, Joe, you have colitis, and then, no problem, how do we get rid of that there? So I thought it was like flu or something, you get rid of that in a week or two. Nah, not like that, like, so I didn't know what was going on for a long time, like, and then, that was it, like, I just didn't know what was going on, I was confused, and I just knew, like, do you know what, I was going to the toilet all of the time, like, there would have been some nights nowhere, like, I would just, middle of the night, now you see, would have been messing up your sleep. Or a couple of times, I'd say, fuck this, I'm sleeping on the toilet tonight, like, because by the time you get to your bed, you gotta go again, like. So there was that, like, and then, you know, I was trying to juggle the school life and training and stuff like that, like, and then after a while, I got very anxious, like, because it was especially, I remember I would have been walking home from school. I live only about 4 minute walk from the school, but I would have just shat myself a couple of times, like, and not like you do, like, you know, they call it urgency, actually, like, that's another big symptom, like, where I'm grand now, and then next thing I need to go, like, and if I don't have a toilet in a minute way, like, you go, like, do you know what I mean? And I got very anxious then, like, I was afraid to go out, like, and
can affect your confidence as well, like,
massively,
even with, like, your young teenagers, what are you, 15, 16, and like, you're supposed to be out there meeting wimpy girls and stuff, and, you know, doing whatever, like, that's probably most definitely affected you from doing any of that stuff as well.
Yeah, I remember I was seeing my girlfriend at the time, like, but, no, you're too afraid to bring her home yet, like, and, remember, we would have just been going for walks and stuff, and then, she would have been chatting away to me and I would not know what she was saying. I wouldn't give a shit, like, because I would have just been bursting, like. But like I say, I didn't know what was going on. I was just holding it, like. But then we say the next day or two, I would have been very sick, like, from trying to hold it in and stuff like that. Like, it was hard, like, and then you would have been, you know, you're like 15, 16, you're with your friends, like, and, you know, it's too embarrassing. To, oh, I'm going to shit myself or whatever. So it was very hard to knock my confidence a good bit, all right, to be fair, like, it did for a while.
It sounds like terrible condition, really, like.
It is, yeah, like,
it's nasty, like, isn't it?
Yeah, Jesus, like, yeah, 23 years of age, no, you are, and to go through something like that, that's tough for anybody. Like, never mind a young person at your age, and I'm sure there's people even younger. But what's going through my head as well at the moment, is it something, you brought up a question, you asked the question there, is it something that can be cured? Is it something that leaves after a while, you know?
Mm.
Is it?
Well, they say, like, it's not, like, but then, like, I read something a couple of weeks ago about a woman, she had a baby and she had Crohn's, I think it was, and after the baby it was just gone then, like. But like, if you go to the doctor or anything, they'll tell you there's no cure for it. But what your man says to me, he says they're medical professionals, whereas he's a health professional, and he's cured himself, like, and he says there's no inflammation, no ulcers, like, through his diet, like. So I suppose it depends who you're asking. Like,
I've heard of people, we've had a lady on here recently, not recently, last year, she had a condition called fibromyalgia, but it's an autoimmune condition as well, you know, it's a chronic fatigue and pain, but she did ayahuasca, plant medicine, you know, and she said that cured her, and I've heard of people getting cured from autoimmune disease through plant medicine, so, you know, have you ever looked into that, or...
No, I've never looked into stuff like that, to be honest, like, especially then, because, you know, I've been training my whole life, like, I've never been into drinking or drugs or anything. I've read a book now a couple of weeks ago, healing Crohn's and colitis, and he was saying that's a big supplement would be cannabis, like, but I would know how I feel about that kind of stuff, like, but then, like, do you know what? Like, if it would heal me, like, I wouldn't rule not now.
Yeah, but there's side effects then to that then as well. Do you know what I mean?
If you're going down
that route, you just have to weigh it up. Like you don't want to be going into the ring with sunshine stone over your head. You want to take the head clean off. Yeah. You know what I mean? You want to be in tip top shape. But I understand, like, if you don't want to go down the nobody wants to be smoking cannabis every day of the week.
Yeah.
Some people do, but we don't, because we're a drug-free podcast. But Joe Rogan do. But the plant medicines that Timmy may have talked about, it's like a once-off experience that you never do again.
Oh, right. Yeah. Is that like, I don't know, did you ever see Mike Tyson? He took like the toad or something like that.
They're based around the same stuff, which is DMT. But there's different levels, right? The DMT, what he took was the toad, which is 5-MeO DMT, you know, which is complete. I've done that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get nothing compared to what he got, but I have experienced what he has got as well through ayahuasca. You know, ayahuasca is a plant medicine that, that people use to connect to their inner being. Some people call it Mother Earth. Some people call it their inner being, their untouched kind of being before the influence of this world and the experiences they suffered within this world. You know, it's the newborn baby, it's the being, you know, or it's the universe. Other people call it the universe, but it does help a lot of people. But going back, I think you actually answered. I think you actually know the answer to this already yourself, and you're actually on that pathway already with Joe Dispenza's work. Now, Joe Dispenza's work is quite similar to other spiritual teachers in their work. But if you just picture it this way, he taught you a little bit about the body, whatever book, I don't know what book it was you read, but if you start visualizing Aaron, your future self, right? Yeah. healthy without colitis, all these different things. But it's not just about visualization. You have to feel like how you'd feel without the sickness that you have now. And you have to live a life of that. But you have to meditate with it and just bring up love and all these different emotions, you know. And when you hit this certain sweet spot, I've seen people on stages. I see one guy in particular, his name is Miles. I was at an event in Brighton at the time. There was 900 people there. This guy got up. I was sitting two seats down from him, right? He got up out of the audience. His name's Miles. His brother was in between me and him. His brother's in recovery as well. He got up off the audience, walked up to the stage, and he gave us a speech for 20 minutes about him curing himself from cancer, stage 4 cancer. He had lesions, cancerous lesions. He had lesions on his brain. Right, they were the size of leeches, and his whole body was just destroyed as well. And he just kept doing the work, and he kept reading Joe Dispenza's books, and he cured himself, he healed himself through visualization of himself, his future self, with no cancer in his body and being healthy. The only thing he was left with was he had a little speech impediment because the lesions on his brain, the old scar tissue on his brain, left him a small bit messed up, you know. But other than that, he was cancer-free. And
yeah, exactly, wouldn't you?
He remembers that exact night where it actually happened during the meditation, you know. And this guy had two or three kids as well, and you know. But that is the answer for some people. Other people, the answer is ayahuasca, ayahuasca, all these different things. Some people, it's just a different level of stuff, you know.
Yeah. And how are you today with it?
Oh, not too bad, no. I remember, I go back to when I was in school and I was very sick. Like,
yeah.
The only thing I wanted, like, I didn't care about nothing else, but it was like, I have to go to Thailand before I get sick, like, because I remember at the time, like, the doctors, like, we didn't get on too well, like, and he would have been saying, like, look, you're gonna need a bag, like, before it was even in the equation kind of thing, like, you're gonna do this
colostomy bag.
And I was saying, like, whatever about all of that, I don't care, like, about it once I get to go to Thailand and have a fight and experience, like, you know, the training out there, like. And I remember then, got through school anyway, and I went out there, like, and the gym I was at, like, they were cooking fresh food for me every single day, like, twice a day. And I remember then, at the time, I was taking steroids and tablets and everything, you know, so that I would get to Thailand, like. Mm. But once I got there, then, like, I started getting solid stools, like, and I was saying, like, has to be your food, like. So I've been kind of going that way ever since then, like, and I came back from Thailand that time, like, and, like, they would have told me, no, like, you know, it's nothing to do with your food, like, you know, and I was just convinced then, like, it has to be my food, like, because I experienced a change, like, you know, through my food, like, and since then, no, like, I just stopped taking my tablets, like, and stuff like that, like. And I've been doing my food, like, and, like, I haven't had a flare up since school, I'd say, like, maybe a day or two there, I might feel funny, like, but, you know, like, before, like, I could have been sick for weeks and weeks, like, you know, I haven't experienced not like that in a long time, like, and I put that down, like, to just my lifestyle, like, no, my training and my food. I don't try not to get too stressed anyway, things like that, like. So
you're managing it well with the food and the
I try my best anyway.
I think about that, Julian.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that whole setup with your man. And, like, I suppose, what's his background? I know news that he was affected himself by colitis. How did you come across him?
I seen him on YouTube a couple of times, like, and he'd have posts up now, like, you know, how I healed my colitis or whatever, and, you know, you'd be saying, this is mad, like, you know, because at the time I thought, nah, there's no way. And then I just clicked into it, like, and I watched a couple of his clips and stuff. I'll show them to you in a minute, like, they're from New Zealand, and he was in the hospital and stuff, and he got very sick, like, and him and his brother then, they found a book, it's called Self-Healing Crohn's and Colitis, and they read that in, like, space of a week, and they got on it straight away, like, and they would have been giving him medications and stuff, but he wasn't taking none of it, like, and after about 2 weeks then, like, I think it was through his diet, like, they said, oh, you're okay now, like, you can go home, like, you know, because his bowel wasn't too inflamed anymore, like, and then I just, they kept it going, like, and eventually he healed himself then, like, but the doctors thought it was the medication, but he was chucking them all in the bin, he was just eating the right foods, like, for him, like, you know, so...
Definitely worth something looking into, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I even know myself after some foods, do you know, like if I had a fish supper now or something, my stomach...
Something with a high fat content.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm in bits like for a couple of days after. I feel just sick to my stomach from it. So no, I definitely agree with you about the foods. But I haven't come across this guy before.
Yeah. There's another woman called Karen Ward. She's from Cork. I went down to see her before as well. And she's very good at... Another thing you might be interested in, actually, is only coming back to me now, was called, like, an IgG test. Did you ever hear of that?
No.
It's like a food intolerance test. You send away, like, you know, 6 or 7 strands of your hair, and it'll come back everything that you're allergic to, like, you know, your food, your metals, all of these things. Like,
yeah, I've heard of the intolerance test before, but I haven't heard of sending off strands of hair. And
That's what it is, but it's only coming to me now because when I was down in Karen Ward, she done it as well with me. It's like you're holding these two metal bars. I can't even remember how long I was holding them. And then it just came up on the list, like, you know, you're allergic to, I think it was like sugar and wheat, and there would have been a couple of more there.
Okay.
And then she'll sort you, like, with a couple of recipes and, you know, smoothies and things like this that you can have, like.
And would you find then that, I suppose, the different plans that you've tried now, would you find that they can be quite boring? Do you get fed up with them easily?
See, what it is for me, like, I'm a bad cook. Like, I can't cook nothing. Like, I have to cook, if you came to my house, I'd have to cook you, like, cereal and toast or something, like. But my mum is a very good cook, like. And to be fair, I know I've been kind of getting into it. I'm not going to say I'm good, like, but I can do it a bit, like, with the soups and stuff like that, like. But they're actually really nice, like, especially the smoothies. I love them, like, and they'd be tasty. Like, they wouldn't be boring or bland or by any means, like, but...
So I think any kind of diet that's bland or boring, like, that's grand for a couple of days, but I know for myself after that,
But high-carb diet sounds like could be quite a nice diet to have.
Well,
I do love my carbs, like.
I know, you do.
I like that diet myself. I love my carbs, too.
Yeah. It's like a quite a vegetarian diet.
I tried that last year. I think me and my buddy, we just said, well, go on, we do it. So we stopped eating meat, for about 6 months or something like that. And I had noticed then as well, like, even I was going to the toilet far less frequently, like, and that's your man though as well. He says, like, you have to avoid all the animal products, like, what he says about an animal, like, he's the middleman, like, he's like, you get your protein and your carbs and your fats, the whole lot, you get it from the ground, like, and it's only the animal eats, we say, your protein, and then, like, we eat the animal, and that's how we get our protein. But he's saying, you get it from the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only kind of starting it now as well, like, you know, but that's what he's saying anyway so far. Like, he's like, don't be worried about not hitting your protein and stuff like that. But he said as well, you know, with your protein, like, he said, it's not as important as people say it is, because he's like, he said that he put it in an analogy, like, it's like, you know, when you build a house, like, we say it with your cement, like, you know, when a house is built, you don't keep adding cement into it, only if there's like a break, like, you might fill it here or there with your cement. And that's what he's saying with the protein, like, it's like it's probably important, like, for, we say, your average person, like, but, you know, for someone like me with colitis, like, he's saying, like, this is the way to go, like, and sure, like, he healed himself, so you can't argue with him, like, can you?
What weight are you?
Me, right now, I'm about 58 kilo.
And what weight do you fight at?
53 and a half.
Is it easier for you to make weight when you're eating healthy like that?
Yeah, well, you see, I haven't done a weight cut yet now, with this diet, like, but so far, like, I feel good anyway, like, so, should be, Should be good anyway. Like.
And have you, we'll talk about the Thai boxing for a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you fought in Neptune Stadium?
Yeah.
And is your, what's the gym up in Ballincollig? Spartans, is it?
Spartan Thai, yeah.
Spartan Thai, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen, why is Thai boxing so popular in Cork?
I don't know.
It's very popular in Cork, yeah. Isn't it? It's kind of a random enough sport. Considering like we've a load of sports in Ireland, you know, GAA, boxing, soccer and everything, rugby. But then Thai boxing has like a very kind of a cult following, doesn't it?
Loyal fans, like you would see the similar faces at the shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Probably just Irish people are mad, like, and they like watching.
I think people just want to be able to take care of themselves a little bit more too, if you really look at it. Most fellas from tough areas just think of maybe joining a kickboxing club to be able to look after themselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's my theory, really. Yeah. We all wanted to be fucking, Bruce Lee or something similar to Bruce Lee growing up, so we could, you know, stop all the fellas that were bullying us up the street. And kickboxing is just one of those sports that we lean to. To be able to help us in that way.
The gas thing about the Thai boxers is the Thai boxers tend to be quite thin. And, you know, they don't look much like, but you would be a big fool to get stuck in somebody like in Thai box, you know.
Yeah.
But what was your biggest achievement in Thai boxing? Or what was your biggest fight?
I don't know. I've had a good couple of big fights and stuff like that.
Or your
like,
favourite moment, maybe?
Maybe winning the Irish title. That was good, like.
That's a huge achievement, right?
Yeah, like I say, I know, like, I had, like, in my head at the time, like, it was just, like, go to Thailand and that's all. And I said, after that, if I get sick, I don't care, like, you know, once I've experienced that. And then I came back, and next thing, that was kind of in the pipeline, like, you know, maybe, like, one or two fights away, and I got that then, like, and sure, I've been training since I'm about 10, like, and I think when I won, I was the youngest champion at the time. And then, like, not only that, like, I won it, but I still have it now, like, so...
So you're the reigning Irish champion?
Yeah.
Well, fair congratulations.
That's brilliant. Right? Fair play.
So who's the... Obviously, like, when you're at the top, there's other fellas now looking at you and wanting to fight you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's exciting to have some defences down the line. Maybe when things start to open up here, we might see you down in Neptune. We're only living a couple of hundred metres away from Neptune.
Yeah.
Actually, so keep us in the loop with upcoming events.
I will, yeah. October 2nd is, I think it's Neptune, it'll definitely be Cork anyway. I've an international fight that night, and there'll be a couple of other big ones, and then there's the following one, I think, is the Tree Arena. So that's massive, like, for Thai boxing, there's never been there. Do you know, Tree Arena is a big thing, like, and there's never been anything like that for the Thai box, and it's like, you know, your local GA club or Neptune is the biggest one, like, we call that.
And
like,
I think Martin Horgan probably deserves a lot of credit as well for bringing, you know, Thai boxing to Neptune, you know, and getting the hundreds in.
Yeah, like you said earlier, he's bringing, like, you know, Sancho in, like,
Rungavi
and Pornsey, and these are, like, just, like, bringing, like, Ronaldo down to your local football club or whatever, but it's only, like, the supporters will know because, like we said earlier, they're all kind of loyal and they've been to many shows. They know who's coming, like, but I'd like to see more people coming, like, and, you know, because some people, they might know who Sancho is. It's just these small little Thai thing.
Sancho's like the Maradona of Thai boxing, isn't he?
I've seen him in one of the Neptune fights below. This fellow can fucking kill a fellow. Like,
I think...
But he's entertaining as well and he's fighting, isn't he?
Yeah, he does the big cartwheel kick, the Sancho kick and stuff like that. Like.
What's the Cork fella that fought him over in Thailand again?
Sean Clancy?
Yeah, that's right.
He's an arm gym as well.
Sean's a tough lad, isn't he?
Yeah.
I seen him there. I used to train him, Seamus and John for a bit.
Did you?
I did. I used to train out there. I was no good. Trust me. I just training. I love the physical side of it. I love training with Jane. Tough train I've ever done in my life. But I would have seen her out there, like,
Sean is the fellow who had that war with Paul Budden.
Tough lads,
A lot of damage as well to be taken with the elbows and the knees, isn't it?
Yeah, see Paul and Clancy that night too, that was with the MMA gloves. You know, like with the MMA, it's great and stuff, but you know, they're getting the break when they're on the floor. Whereas in the Thai boxing, you get put down, you get back up. And a lot of people kind of went a bit mad then with the gloves, like punch happy and stuff like that. Like the best fight I ever seen was Corby up in Dublin, Adrian Corby. Unbelievable. He won the cage title. I got a higher high, you know, when he won that, then I won my own title. It was unbelievable.
He fought that guy in Cork then again after, didn't he?
Yeah.
They're on YouTube. Like, they battered each other. He's a tough. I know Adrian myself personally.
We'd have to give a shout out to Ryan Sheehan as well. He's Ali Hill Nakhnahini, world champion at the time back in the day. And a lovely fella as well, you know.
Yeah, he's sound as a bone.
So we've got there's a lot of talent in Cocker in terms of Thai boxing. Look, it's probably another podcast in Thai boxing. I can't wait to see a fight and keep us posted on the events. If people want to contact you, how can they do that? Are you on Instagram or?
See, that was a big thing for me then as well. You know, when I got kind of a bit depressed and stuff and anxiety, I had to cut some stuff out and I was like, cut some people. And another thing I cut out was social media, like I don't use that anymore. But if you want to contact me, I have Messenger. Just write in my name, Aaron McGahey, and you could email me as well, like if you want. Okay. Like, but
all right, we'll link your email in the description of the video. And if people want to contact you, they can drop you an email. That's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And you might come on the walk with us on the 4th of July, Karen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Great. We see you there. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast.
And I just want to say, listen, from a lot of the people that we've had on here, you seem like one of the most genuine people that we've had on. And I mean that truly.
Thanks a million.
Okay, yeah, so keep going. And Gillian, do you want to finish?
Thanks for sharing your experience, Aaron. It takes guts to come on and talk about this topic. I know that myself. Yeah. But I know you spoke very well, so well done.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Gillian. Thanks, Timmy.
Thanks
for Robin and the deck. Say hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
And before we finish up again, just remember, lads, Red Ribbon for HIV awareness. If you don't know your status, you can get a rapid test in the Sexual Health Centre, Cork. And if you're not from Cork, I'm sure you went where you went to.
And so, I'm sure there's people there as well, like to help people that are getting the tests done. Yeah. And when they get the results, there's counselling and stuff there for that as well.
And you know what? Sexual health is a topic we haven't covered yet. So we will cover that in the coming weeks. So thanks everybody. Thanks everybody in the room and everybody at home. And we see everybody next week.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And don't forget to head over to the Patreon if you'd like to help us. Thanks again.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flimsy staying slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.